I want to make a note, if you didn't see the sign earlier, Children's Church is officially on. So if you would like to dismiss for that, feel free. And I also wanted to point out in your bulletin, we have a little bit of an error for Awana tonight. I want to clarify, the theme tonight is movie night. There will be popcorn and movie. It's going to be awesome. So if you're connected with Awana, please come out for that. And I'm going to light up our candles. We add a new candle this week, and that is the candle of joy. The candle of the joy is a lighter candle, and there's a reason for that, and I don't know what it is. I think it has something to do with the energy behind the brighter color, but we're going to talk about some things today. But first, let me say welcome. If you're a visitor with our church, you're an honored guest today. We're so glad that you're here, and we want you to know that we've been praying for you, and we don't know your name yet. But God knows your name. He brought you here today. And I hope that you're blessed by this day. I hope that you're encouraged. Church in the Falls is a family anyone can belong to. And you don't have to change anything about yourself. We just want you to come and feel welcomed here. Feel special. And as you begin to hear the Word of God, it's going to rip you all to shreds. I mean, it's just how it works. We're all in that process with you. So just feel free to come and soak it in. Ask hard questions. We all desire to follow the Lord Jesus. And that is our goal. That is our agenda, unashamedly. And we're glad that you're here to join with us in that. And we hope you feel welcome. Have you ever noticed in the Bible how every time an angel shows up, what's the first thing they say? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's a consistent pattern throughout many passages in the Bible. Mary experienced it, Joseph, the shepherds, many people in the Old Testament. The angel shows up and the first words are, don't be afraid. And I've often wondered why they come with such grandioseness if they don't want us to be afraid. One of my questions for God. But there's something serious about that. And these shepherds, for example, in our story today, they're not weak people. Remember, David was a warrior. He was a shepherd. I mean, they protect the sheep against lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. And they protect the sheep against thieves who may be coming by, who would want to steal them and take them to market. And they would stand up, they would live in the wild, sleep under the stars. Those are raw characters. And they were afraid. I want to read a little bit from the story. I'm reading from a translation called The Voice. And it's very uniquely written, and I wanted to read it today because I think it highlights some things. Luke chapter 2, here's how it goes. Suddenly, a messenger of the Lord stood in front of them, and the darkness was replaced by a glorious light, the shining light of God's glory, and they were terrified. Now I want you to picture this. They're in the dark, they're outside, sleeping under the stars. They probably couldn't see very much at all. And from this dark place comes this enormously bright light. Anybody ever been in a situation where you're sitting in the dark and someone just suddenly turns a light your way and you're just like, oh man, and you just can't see anything? Happens at camp regularly. Those moments where you're caught off guard. The police car comes up behind you and everything is blindingly bright and you just can't see, and it's overwhelming a little bit. Imagine being in this darkness and having this sudden, incredibly bright light. And it's not just light, it's the glory of God shown all around. So there's light from the glory of God, which is in itself a form of light. It's as if the light was thick and heavy and powerful. The Bible describes God as living in what He calls unapproachable light. To see and experience the light of God is to die if you're mortal. No one can look at God and live. And so there's this moment where these shepherds are sitting quietly in the dark, and suddenly this enormous beacon bright light shones in, and they all pee their pants, and the angel says, don't be afraid. And they're like, okay. This is a moment that you will never forget. And this is how the story starts. Suddenly, boom. The angel says, don't be afraid. Listen, I bring good news, the news of great joy, news that will affect all people everywhere. Anybody ever go to the store and get the cereal? There's the normal size box of cereal, 12, 13 ounces. Then there's the large cereal, this 14, 15 ounces. Then there's the family size, you know, the family size Cheerio, like 24 ounces, right? And then there's the mega cereal. It's like 13 pounds of cereal. You know the one I'm talking about, right? You have to have a whole cart just to bring it home. It's so big it doesn't fit in the cabinet. And you're thinking, how do I hold this without dropping it and try to pour it? And it's so fat. You know what I'm talking about? The big ones, right? The mega box. That's the word in Greek. Literally, mega. I bring mega joy, is what the angel says. Something tremendous is happening right now. Mega joy. And it is for everyone. All people. He continues. Today in the city of David. Now focus here for a second. How many times through Scripture have we heard things like, and then I will, and God's going to send, and it's going to happen, and thus saith the Lord, I'm going to make it happen, you can trust me. And all of a sudden the tone changes from, it's going to be to today. Right now, tonight, in the city of David, which they were right outside of, a liberator, a savior has been born for you. He is the promised anointed one. He is the Christ, the supreme authority. He is Lord. I love the past tense in here. When you think of a king, the king comes to birth a new order. The king comes to birth a new reality. But instead, this king comes to be birthed. It's passive. And today it is happening. The king is being born. Birthed. I love how this passage... Anybody ever heard of the ichthus? Who knows what an ichthus is? Right? A few of you. You ever seen the cars with the little fish symbol on the back of it? That's an ichthus. It's the Greek word for fish. In the first century it was really significant because it was illegal to be a Christian and you would be killed. And so you would hide. And so if you saw someone and you thought they might be Christian, you'd be like... And they look down and you see the fish. Oh, we're together. Oh, okay. And it was a very calm way to communicate with others that you followed the fish king. The one who takes fishes and multiplies them with the loaves. He is the one who makes us fishers of men. And on the analogies would go. Because... that is the one we serve. He is Jesus. And what was significant is every letter in that word, ichthus, represented a part of who Jesus was. The first letter is I, Jesus. He's Jesus. We see the very next passage, we'll call him Jesus. Though the passages before, he was called Jesus. We see the he right after it, Christos. He is the Christ. The angel says very clearly, he is the Christ, the Messiah. Thea. Theos means God. It's the theta right in the middle of the word. He is the Lord. He is curious. He is Theos. He is God. Then there's this you, which means huios. It's the word for son. He was literally a little boy being born. What do you call that? A son. And then the last word is an S, soter, which means Savior. He is the Savior. He is the one that is going to come save His people. All of these things were spoken by this great warrior of the Lord in bright shining light. All that was about to happen was exciting, and he didn't want to miss a beat. And then he continues, you will know that you found him when you see a baby wrapped in a blanket lying in a feeding trough. How many of you put your babies in feeding troughs? Done that recently, right? It's still strange today. It was strange then. It was an odd thing. And so when you go and look for this baby and you're going to find him in a feeding trough and it's a little weird, and you'll know you found something very special. And it's going to be mega joy. This is something for all people, the whole world needs to know about. Continues. Suddenly, there it is again. Remember, it started suddenly. The light just like an atom bomb in the middle of your dark night. Now here's again. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven, peace on earth, and those to whom God is pleased. I love this visual here. You may remember The Three Amigos. It's a great movie. Anyways, there's this word that pops up throughout the whole thing. Plethora. Everybody say it with me. Plethora, right? Can I say it with a little Spanish accent? Is it plethora? It just means lots and lots and lots, right? It's the word in Greek means full. It's so full you can't see anything but it. It is lots. And that's the word here. Suddenly there was a plethora of angels. They were so many that there was nothing else that could be seen. As in, you see this beacon of light, but there might be some darkness behind you. Suddenly, the angels come from everywhere. And you literally, no matter where you look, is angels. And they're an army of God. And they're powerful. And they break out in a song and dance, just like a musical. Can you imagine the experience of this? They sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. Goodwill towards men." Now, have you ever noticed that great joy is often preceded by great fear? Even in this story, they're greatly afraid, and then suddenly there's this mega joy. It is a consistent pattern in the Bible as well. I want you to process that a little bit as we talk, and we'll revisit that at the end. Great fear often precedes great joy, or even more importantly, great joy is preceded often by great fear. The woe becomes wow by the end of the story. And I often wondered what it might have been like in heaven when God is getting ready to announce, and all the angel armies, and he's like, "Okay, I need somebody to make the announcement." Oh, right? Millennia, just billions of angels, right? And then God says, "Okay, I'll pick you over there." And he comes down and he gets so excited, and all the other ones are jealous. They're just hanging on because he gets to make the announcement. But the minute he was done, guess what? They are following right behind him. Great joy. This is the image we have going on here. Now I want to tell us, here's some ways that we can think about joy today. Three specific things. One is, joy and pain always coexist, just like joy and fear in this case. Two, joy connects us to others. It's a real important element to understanding it. And lastly, joy always leads into worship. Joy and pain coexist. Look at these pictures here. Just click it, it'll pull up several. This lady is getting water from a dirty stream. Downstream from the animals. Just soak that in for a minute. That's a non-joy. That's a sadness. That's a dirty. And then we have this picture of clean water. Missionaries go in, they try to help create a water source that's clean, and look at the face. That is joy, would you agree? Now, let me ask you, do they suddenly all have shoes? Do they suddenly all have plenty of food? Do they all suddenly have more children and crops to bear? Do they suddenly have a new house or a car or anything like that? Are their needs still significant? But they have water. And so there's joy. This is important. Joy always comes alongside our pain. It lines up and reframes it. Because when you have water, all the other burdens are slightly lighter. And it makes sense. Even though the burdens are still there. The water doesn't take away the burden, but the water reframes it. Joy is just like that. When joy comes upon us, we are still in our brokenness. We still have our struggle. We still have our pain and our fears and our frustration. But that joy reframes and redeems that pain and gives it a new context and makes it experienced very different. And we can smile and we can be jubilant. See, here's the thing. The message of the angel back in the day is still good for us today. Who in here's got some pain and problems in your life? All right, y'all lying now. All right, you can actually raise your hand. Who in here's got some pain that you could speak of if someone were to ask and you were to be honest, right? I'm telling you, our family has been through the ringer the last 9 months. Some of you know bits and pieces. None of you know all of it. It's been a hard, hard 6 or 9 months. And I know you can relate to that. The message of the angel applies to you today. The angel says, "Do not fear. I have mega joy to tell you about." Whatever fears, whatever stresses, whatever frustrations you may have, do not be afraid. For I have good news of great joy. Christ the Lord has been born. And that has changed everything. And the angels are excited about it. Anybody ever seen the Visual Bible, the Matthew version? It's about a four-hour word-for-word of the NIV telling of the story to film. Go ahead and click the next picture here. This is a scene from that visual. And what I love about this character of Jesus is it's much more realistic. Once upon a time, when you saw a Jesus story, he was like this. Right? That was the Jesus. He was somber, and he died at the end. And that was kind of, and at the very end, when he was resurrected, he just kind of glowed and looked off in the distance. There was nothing joyful or real about him, unfortunately. This character of Jesus takes on a much more biblical visual. He's angry. He's happy. He weeps. He laughs. He's joyful. He goes to parties. And it is word for word from the text. And it really brings out some of the nuances of the text. Because Jesus was a joyful person. Now, how do I know that? The Bible is very clear that Jesus never did miracles by his own power. He could have. But he instead humbled himself and made himself obedient. And he followed the lead of the Spirit. And routinely we see the Spirit led him into places. The Spirit did things. The Spirit brought awareness to him. And here's the crazy part. Each of us, if we become Christians, when we come up out of the water of baptism, the Bible says we gain that exact same Holy Spirit and will do even greater things than Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Why is that important? Here's why. Because the same Spirit that brought about all the power in Jesus did some other really important things that He brings in us as well. The fruit of the Spirit's not a kumquat. A what? The fruit of the Spirit's not a kumquat. A what? If you want to be a kumquat, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's number two. Jesus, as a Spirit dweller, was joyful. He understood how powerful that was. He understood that it flowed from him because he knew the big story. Anybody ever been in a situation where someone says to you, all right, dinner's on me, you can get whatever you want off the menu. And you have that moment where you think, I really am craving that $7 hamburger, but filet mignon I can never afford, and it's like $37. Kind of want the hamburger, but I'm going to go ahead and spend the money because I don't have that opportunity normally. Anybody else got a weird sense of, am I alone here? You know, right? You know what? Or here's another one. You go to Starbucks and you get the free one, right? It's your birthday or you've got 125 stars or whatever it may be for you. And you walk in and you think, I've got a free one. I think I'd like $1.50. A cup of hot chocolate. We know, right? That's crazy. And there's an anxiety that comes with that. Instead, we're going, okay, what can I do to max this out? So I'm going to get a double venti shot with like 18 extra shots of espresso and double whipped cream and a side of, right? We're thinking, how in the world I'll maximize the bang for the buck? Because it is an opportunity. I've been craving to go in and just say, hey, I think I'd like 60 shots of espresso in a mug. I'll be good with that. Just, you know, just see if they'll do it, right? I want you to think about struggle and stress like that. In fact, James is so crazy. He says, you ought to count it pure joy, there's our word, when you run into problems. James, have you been, you know, what's going on here? You've been drinking some of that water. Something's not quite right. But here's what he's saying. When real problems come and you know who's in charge of the world, and he's a good, good God, then you can relax and go, God's up to something. He wouldn't waste pain. He loves me. And because he's not going to waste pain, I can have joy in the fact that I'm getting something out of this. Some of that desire I have for love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and those things I want to be to be more like God and that excitement of my life, I'm going to get a jump to the front of the line with this pain. Can you see how that works? Consider it pure joy, he says, because with the joy you understand what God is doing. It brings perseverance. It develops character. It makes us mature and complete, not lacking anything. And that's what we typically complain about, what we lack. So this is an opportunity. And I think if we think about it that way, that's where the joy makes sense. It gives us a way to see it. So the first thing is, keep in mind, joy always comes alongside of our pain. It doesn't get rid of it. It reframes it. Two, joy connects us to others. One of the things, if you see this picture of the kids, one more time. Next shot. What do you see? Is that little kid at the watering hole by himself? No. He's got the whole town, right? Because when something exciting happens, what do you want to do? You want to share it, right? In fact, some of us who are feeling sad, when we see somebody laughing and smiling, we kind of go like this. I want some of that. What are y'all doing? Y'all clearly have it all together. Now, sometimes they mistake that for kind of worldly happiness. You got what you wanted, and therefore you're happy. Maybe they don't understand the joy that can come from understanding the big picture. But we do. As we embrace that joy, and it bubbles out of us, and smiles, and joy, and laughter, even in trial, the world will lean in and be like, It draws people to us. It connects us to one another. It shows that we're not alone. Good news of great joy for all people, the angel said. Everybody gets to be a part of this. It connects us to people. In fact, fear and pain do just the reverse. They tend to separate us from others. But joy brings us together. So joy aligns side of your pain. Joy connects us to others. And three, joy always leads to worship. I think it's like this. When something joyful happens and you go, okay, God is blessing me, even though it's hard, I know His hand is upon me and there's great joy in that. If that's it and we just move on, we don't experience it fully. I think the magic, the secret sauce, if you will, of learning and embracing that joy, experiencing that joy and making more of it is worship. When we experience something and we go, oh, Lord, who am I that you even know my name? And praise be to God of heaven who has done this great thing. When we're in a moment of worship and we respond to God, it whips lather and makes more joy. And it's this like symbiotic relationship. And we fully experience the joy more than just saying, oh, great, and walking by. Have you got a present and you open it up and you're like, oh, that's great, but you got like 30 more presents? So you quickly move on to the next present. And you miss the nuance of cutting the box open, seeing all the details, reading the instructions. There's a lot of joy there. I think worship is a way to pause and bathe in the joy that God has provided. A response to God. And that's why it's so important. It must lead to worship. Notice the angels are worshiping. They all cannot wait to get in on this. The shepherds end up going, and the Bible says they found the baby Jesus and they worshipped Him. The wise men come later and they show up bringing gifts, and the Bible says they worshipped Him. It is the nature of what happens when joy and joy again and rejoy turns into rejoicing. It's a reality of life, a choice that we make to bathe in, to circulate in. And it jump starts more joy, which brings more praise and more worship. And that is the lifestyle of a Christian, full of joy. Here's some suggestions of how to walk in joy. Number one, joy is contagious. So connect with other people. That's why we meet on Sunday. There's a lot of sermons you could hear online. There's a lot of Bible reading you could do all by yourself. Why do we come together? It's because one of the elements of being as a people and a family is the joy is contagious. So I want everybody to look at your neighbor, and I want you to say to them, I am so glad that you, go ahead and say, I'm so glad that you are blessed to sit next to me. All right? This is the joy that we experience together. We're a family. We're a family anyone can belong to, and it's something that you can embrace and enjoy while you're here. So number one, stay connected to people. Be a part of church. Be a part of life group. Do those things. It will build your joy. Number two, choose to be thankful. Remember the study we had recently about all the different medical studies about just simply writing down what you're thankful for before you go to bed increases your ability to sleep, it blesses you, gives you more joy, etc., etc. This is medical science beyond what the Bible says. It is so clear and evident. Have you been doing that? Uh-oh, right? Let me encourage you to do that. Sit down tonight and take a minute and say, oh God, I am so glad, grateful for these things in my life. Thank you for blessing me with my children, with my family, with my home, with the clothes on my back, the things you've given. You're so good to me. Who am I that you even know my name? Take a minute and read from a psalm. Embrace the Lord genuinely in thankfulness. What will happen is that worship that you're doing in thankfulness will turn to more joy. And it'll circle and circle. So connect with others. Choose to be thankful. And lastly, don't just worship God because of what He's done. Although that's a great thankful element, worship for who He is. He is a good, good Father. The song we just sang, oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much He just thinks of you, longs to know you, and wants you to know Him? This is powerful stuff. And knowing who He is something to celebrate. When pain is explained in the light of eternity, joy is going to be a natural result that will flow into thanksgiving and worship. I want you to imagine for a minute, Jesus is on the cross. He has been crucified. It's going down quick. His life is at the end. He is tired. He is worn out. The Romans have won. We're no longer taking down the Romans. There's sadness. There's brokenness. His mom is weeping at the foot. There's blood dripping down. It is a real situation. And we're all feeling a little hopeless. And Satan's somewhere around going, I think I might just win this. He hasn't pulled him out yet. I think I might just win this. And God, through His tears, smiles and says, Booyah. That's the modern vernacular, right? Everybody say what we say, Booyah. You lose, Satan. You think you're winning, but you really don't know the whole story. And I'm the God of the angel armies, and I know what's up. And this is for the glory of me and for the blessing of my people. And I win. You lose. Booyah! This is such an incredible reality if you think about it. Now let me ask you again. How do we get from this extreme fear connected to extreme joy? I think there's a step in the middle. The Bible says that fear is the beginning of what? Wisdom, right? You guys remember that, right? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I think the fear of God is to see the angel and go, oh no, you wet your pants and now you're aware of what's real. And that is the beginning of wisdom, to know your place in the world and the way God has designed it. You understand God is God and you're not. That's wisdom. And from there comes and He's listening to me. He's talking to me. He's loving me. He's providing for me. Who am I that guy? So fear moves to wisdom, which moves to joy. And joy ends with worship. And I think that is a system that God had designed. Romans 8:28 says it similarly. God works everything for the good of those who love Him. So this is what I want you to do today. I want you to say to your problems. You got problems. We got problems, right? You got pain in your life. I want you to be thinking about that right now. And I want you to say out loud with me. I want you to look at your problem square in the eye, and whatever pain, whatever dishonorable thing has been done to you, whatever frustration you may have, whatever relationship that is burdening you, whatever holiday woes, memories, sadness, whatever it may be that is trying to take your joy, I want you to look at it, and I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, booyah! Say it with me. In the name of Jesus, booyah! I was close. Let's try it again. In the name of Jesus, booyah! God wins. And God is on your side. That is where our joy comes from. I want to read one last passage and we're going to wrap this up. I know we're close on time here. Ephesians 1 is an amazing reality because this booyah visual that God has for you, He's been thinking about for a long time. Listen to this. How blessed is God, and what a blessing He is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ and takes us to the high places of blessing in Him. Long before He laid down the earth's foundations. Think about that for a minute. Before the world was ever created, He had us in His mind. He had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and to be made holy by His love. Long ago, before He created the world, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, His blood poured out on the altar of the cross, because of that we are free people, free of penalty, free of punishment, not just barely free, we are abundantly free. He thought of everything. He provided for everything that we could possibly need. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him. It's in Christ that we find out who we are. It's in Christ is what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and we got all of our hopes up, He had His eye on us already. He had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose that He was working out in everything and in everyone. That means if you're here today, you are part of God's plan prior to Him ever making the world. How does that make you feel? The Bible says that before the world was ever made, in God's heart, Jesus was already crucified. I don't know how that measures in your mind. But no matter how you interpret that, at the very least, God knows you. He designed you, and from the very beginning, He had this plan for you. And that is why, church, it is mega joy. God waited a long time to bring this about. And when Jesus Christ landed in the world, all things changed. And you can say to all the problems, just like the angel, do not be afraid. And you can say boldly in the name of Jesus, booyah. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We praise You. Thank You for Your grace and mercy. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the incarnation. We are humbled and we are just overwhelmed. Father, we offer this prayer and I ask that You would fill us with Your Spirit today, that You would move us closer to You. And as we sing the words of this song, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would begin to work on us and move us to where You want us to be. Call us to the action that You have in mind, the visual You have for us, Your preferred future for us that You've been designing before the world ever began. Thank You for Jesus. We love You. We praise You. We pray, Father, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, let all who agree say, amen. If there's a way we can bless you today, we're going to stand and sing. We've got prayer warriors up here. Let's stand and let's worship together.
And praise become my embrace to love You from the inside out. Your will above all else, my purpose remains, the art of losing myself in bringing You praise everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart and my soul, I give You control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my my soul. I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting. Lord, I will shine with all hell's rays, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all pain, and the cry of my heart is to bring.
God says, do not be afraid, I am with you. Do not be terrified, for I am your God. I will make you strong and I will help you. I will hold you safe in my hands. And I will always do what is right. So rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. God bless you. Go in peace.